And so basically, because the rock hit him, he was unconscious and he fell like immediately to the bottom. Hi guys, welcome back to the Just for Today podcast, where we dive deep into uncomfortable topics with zero filters. My name is Adriana, and today I have a dear friend with me, Brittany. Thank you so much for coming in and hanging out with me.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. So Brittany and I actually met on social media. I feel like after Eric died, I was like on a frantic search to just...
What does this look like?
Yeah. Right. Like widows, grieving, this, that. And
right.
I like on Instagram, everything, I was just searching widows and grief stuff. And yeah, you were one of the pages that popped up and we just connected from there.
I know. What year was that?
2023.
Yeah. Okay. I know. It's all a blur.
I know. It is. It is.
It's a blur.
Yeah. Kyle died in 2021. So it was about 2 years after he passed away.
Yeah.
I guess it's always nice to kind of like, I mean, at that moment, you know, after your person dies, you're like, what the heck do I do now? But seeing people that are a little more ahead of you,
being
like, okay, they're doing it.
You know? They're alive. They're functioning. They may have gotten out of bed. It's like what you want to know. What does this look like?
Yeah.
And will I like make it tomorrow?
Yeah.
And social media can be a double-edged sword, but it's such a gift, such a blessing that we can connect for that reason. Because in any other circumstance, how would you just go anywhere and meet someone like us?
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was kind of the thing too. After Eric died, I went to something called Camp Widow.
Yeah.
And I think that was the first time I actually even left my house. He died in March and I went in July. And yeah, that was the first time I ever went anywhere in public, because you do just feel like there's a sign on your forehead that's like widow, or like everyone's watching you. And I just remember walking in there and I was like, oh my gosh, my people.
Right.
Like I belong here.
Right.
Everyone knows what it feels like.
Right. How big is that event? Is it
really? It was really big.
Was it?
Yeah. It was like at a pretty big like convention center. And yeah, there was like hundreds and hundreds of people.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
All ages?
All ages, which was nice.
Right. Yeah. Right. That's the thing that's not super common.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And I feel like a lot of, you know, the younger people kind of like mesh together and you just like find your group of people.
Yeah.
So it was nice.
What
to
a
just
gift.
Not be alone.
Right. And you're out of bed.
Yeah.
Out of the house.
Yeah. But you do something like that too, right? With your exhale.
Yes.
Widows.
Yes. A good friend, Emily Burns and I, we found Never Alone Widows in I was gifted a retreat that turned into like a conference, and it was kind of a group that was very near and dear to my heart. And it's just so crazy and so sad that there's so many people out there. Like this is the need, right?
Yeah.
And you have no idea until you're sitting with hundreds of them and you're like, oh my goodness, because before our husbands died, we had no idea.
No idea.
And the fact that something like this exists is just, you know how valuable it is to you and your soul and your kids and your healing.
Yeah.
And so Emily and I really bonded and connected. Our husbands were 6 months apart, and that was a total God thing. She popped up on my Instagram and I was praying for her before Kyle ever died, which was just wild to me. And then we ended up at the same table in the same room as the retreat, and kind of walked away from that thinking, we want to do this. We know how like life-giving that retreat was. And so we started last year. I can't remember why you couldn't come.
My daughter started kindergarten.
That's right. I knew it was something
and
big.
I couldn't.
Which
I
is
like,
monumental.
Okay,
No,
I'm so sad.
Our babies are fragile.
Yeah.
And we are their person, right? And so, but we did our first one last September. There was four younger widows. And we try to distinguish it by widows with children living in the home, not to exclude people, but it's also like we're a different type of, you know, being.
Mm-hmm.
All the things that are put on our plate, and we're all, you know, 30s, 40s. Another girl, I think she was 27, 28. And so just walking so closely, it's like, it feels like they're your soul sisters. Like you were supposed to meet them.
Yeah.
So Exhale turned into that. And we have, our next one is five women all across the United States. We had 50 apply, which was so cool.
That was amazing.
Not cool, but like, what a gift to be able to meet these women. So we'll do that actually in downtown Franklin.
Aww.
So it'll be sweet and quiet and quaint. And so we're really looking forward to that.
Oh my gosh.
So it's new. It's we're looking hopefully to be a nonprofit. It's completely on our own and just something it's like we just feel so passionate about what it gave to us, which we want to give to others.
Yeah, something you truly believe in.
Yes.
And you want other people to feel.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. It is so important to find your people after this.
I know.
Like, man, our whole lives got flipped upside down. And yeah, I think meeting the people that I've met along the way, other widows and widowers, has saved me.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's just nice to know you're not alone.
Not alone.
Yeah. Okay, let's take it back a little bit. Why don't you tell me a little bit about you and Kyle?
Yeah. So I'm originally from small town Illinois. I met Kyle. I moved away from home, went to college, and met Kyle like the end of my freshman year. And he was born and raised in Tennessee. So as soon as we met, I was a freshman, he was a senior. He was getting ready to move back home to Franklin to work and kind of start his life. And we met at a mutual friend's party, and literally from the first hour, like that was it. I was 19.
Yeah.
It was, we had both had previous relationships, 3-4 years. We weren't looking for any sort of thing. And it was just like, I've met my person, and you just know. And so I'm a freshman. He's going off, you know, graduating, all the things. So he made it to Tennessee for about 10 months. And then we were engaged, not even, I think 11 months, a year later. So he moved back to Illinois. So I finished up school, got my teaching degree. And then we moved to Tennessee as soon as I graduated, did the Broadway thing, did our, you know, sort of newlywed life, which was great. And then we kind of settled in Southern, we're about 30 minutes south of Nashville, and had two kids. And yeah, it was just like, I came from divorced parents. And so it was like, I knew everything I didn't want. You talk to people and it's like, they don't know what they have when they have it. And I knew exactly what I had.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I fought so hard against all of these things that came through my childhood to meet the good guy and have the kids. And I've got the home and the white picket fence and all of those things. I had a good teaching job. And it was just like, every day I woke up and looked at the three of them. Like, I'm so grateful. I'm so blessed.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was just, we were together for 13 years. And so it's also like, I don't know who are we, when you're with someone for so long, it's like, who are you without them? Because you've grown up together.
Yeah. Yeah. You've grown into, you help each other grow. So you turn into just
different people together.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So you had two kids, a boy and a girl.
Yeah.
Right? So how far apart in age are they?
So our son was born in 2016, and he, it took us a while to have him. He was kind of my, my miracle baby. Wasn't sure if we were going to get pregnant. And so that was kind of our first hurdle in life, in marriage, where it's like really hard, and you're, you know, it makes you stronger as a couple. And when Bennett came, it was just like, we were so overjoyed. And then our daughter Sawyer, she was in 2019, she was like COVID baby-ish right before that, where the world shut down, and, you know, I have a screaming newborn and you can't leave and all of the things. And so, yeah, it was just, we were set. We were good with two. We wanted to travel, saving for all the trips, all the, you know, the college fund, all the things. And we were just like really, really, really happy.
And you had your boy and your girl.
Yeah.
So you're
we're good. We're good.
We're set.
Yes.
I remember, I'm the opposite. I had a girl first and then my boy. And I remember we're like, okay, we're done. We're done.
Yeah.
And there was this one time Eric was laying in bed with Jax and Emmy. And then Emmy brought her like little baby doll and like set it on Eric's shoulder. And I was like, you look really good with three kids.
Yeah.
I was like, maybe we should have another one. He's like, you're crazy. And it just put the idea in my head. And I got pregnant with her right away. I always laugh because it took me months and months and months to get pregnant with the first first.
Yeah, yeah. Well, sorry, our second. It was just like, once your body knows what to do, it's like, I earned a trip to Hawaii, and I literally went to Kroger, peed on a stick, and called him on my way to the airport. Like, you know, the first one you do all these cute things, and the second one you're like, what's happening? Yes, same. So, she was such a hard baby. It was kind of like, if she was our first, I don't know if I would have had.
I always say that about my last one, too.
Yeah, so you're like, you know, just the challenge.
Oh, man. Yeah, kids. They're great. Gotta love them. So you went on a trip for Kyle's birthday. Right? Mm-hmm. It was a birthday trip. And it didn't turn out how you thought it would. Can you kind of walk us through that?
Yeah. So our birthdays are actually 3 days apart. And so it was something we did almost every year, whether we did something on Broadway or did something with friends. And as a teacher, you know, I also got off school right around the same time. So you've got summer starting. So we, with two other couple friends, we rented a pontoon boat and we're out on the lake, a lake, Center Hill. It's very popular. It's absolutely beautiful out there. And it's somewhere that Kyle and I had been, I don't know, 20, 30 times with his family, my family. It was just a regular day. There wasn't any foul play. There wasn't anything out of the ordinary. And we were about 30 minutes from turning in our boat rental. We had gotten jet skis and it was really hot. And something that Kyle always did when we were out on a lake was he would find some sort of, you could call it a cliff, but some sort of bank where he could kind of climb up and jump into the water. And he was he's a 7. If you follow Enneagram, just like life of the party, loves an adventure. If you knew Kyle, you had seen him do some sort of jump in his lifetime. And so he jumped out. Our friends were kind of underneath him as far as where he was climbing. One of our friends climbed, you know, a few feet up and jumped. And I stayed in the boat because it's cold with one of my best friends. And he just kept climbing and climbing and climbing and climbing. And my best friend Abby looked at me and because he was so high up, and she said, "I hope you have life insurance. Like, kid you not." And in that moment, all I really remember is like rocks. And so I even told the police officer because we were being questioned naturally for the event. And I even, not lied, but I even told the police officer the wrong story because I blacked out. Mm-hmm. And because I had seen him do this jump off a bank thing that I thought that is what was happening. But it was stuck in my mind that it had to have been that. And so basically, as he was climbing, he kept going and going and going, and he pulled out a boulder about this size from the cliff. And so the autopsy, it hit him in the head, so he was knocked unconscious. And so what I saw was him and all of the rocks kind of tumbling, and he went through a tree. And again, all of our friends, if the cliff is here, all of our friends are swimming underneath him, no life jackets, because we do this all the time. There wasn't like a bank, they were just swimming, and he fell, and our friends are immediately as close to him as they could have been, and they start diving, thinking he's broken his arm, right? He's gonna pop back up, or he's playing a prank, or whatever. All of a sudden, I like freeze, and everything is still, and I remember touching my girlfriend, and I just said, "Go." And she jumps off, and I start calling 911, and there's a boat over here. They come over, and now I have all of these people trying to dive in and save him.
So he went in and has not
come up. Correct.
Yet. So all these people are trying to dive.
And in hindsight, even if like our two best friends, it's like, even if they could have grabbed him and he's unconscious, that would have killed them, right? Like, we go back and forth with all the what ifs and that. The accident, like, we share that, right? It's an accident, and it shouldn't have happened. And you can, if I would have done differently, or if I would have even 10 minutes of a difference. And it's just like, you can drive yourself mad doing those things. And so basically, because the rock hit him, he was unconscious, and he fell like immediately to the bottom. So I'm screaming, I'm calling 911, and they're all again diving, and I'm thinking, they're trying to find, like, where are you on this lake? I have no idea, right? It's a massive lake, but also can't you find my iPhone?
Yes.
In the world.
Yeah.
In my mind that a like police boat's going to come up right. with scuba suits and they're going to dive down. And it, again, it had been 30 minutes.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking they're going to dive down and save my husband and he's going to be fine. Mm-hmm. And it's literally like this boat of strangers starts to leave and the police boat come up and they literally have a piece of paper and a pencil. And in that moment, I don't remember anything.
What piece of paper?
Just to write a report. Like,
so they don't even like try.
There's no attempt. There's no diving. There's no nothing. So it's just like, I remember them getting back on the boat. I remember one of them vomiting off the side of the boat. The next thing I know, I'm on a dock and I'm calling my dad and we're passing the phone. And the next thing I remember is waking up at our Airbnb and I'm in a bed. It was literally like a nightmare. Like I just watched my life flash before my eyes in slow motion. Mm-hmm. And we all still hear the five of us. We're very, very close. And it's some of us hear the screaming of each other, you know. Elliot sees my face. Brennan saw Kyle right in front of him. Like we all have so many regrets and so many what ifs and different things. And it's traumatized us like, you know, for forever. And so we get back to the Airbnb and then the police come and they eventually, I don't remember if it's like the Tennessee State team or there's two different wildlife teams that go out. And the two guys had to go back out on the boat. And they could figure out where he was by the missing piece right. in this cliff. Mm-hmm. And he was directly, like there was no floating. He was directly right where he fell. That's how hard he hit his head. Like his wedding ring fell off of him. That was not something that I got back or that his, he had one scratch on his arm. And at 8 or 8:30, I think it happened around 2. And I remember the police officer walking in and it was our birthdays. We had a picture frame on the coffee table. And he said, is that your family? And I said, yes, sir. And he said, my wife just had a baby and I will do everything I can to find your husband. And I was just like, this is not real. Like you're going to find him. Yep. And at the time our son was barely 5. Our daughter was 16, 17 months. She just learned to walk. At 8 o'clock, I remember it getting dark. They came in and said, we found him. And I just remember thinking, if they didn't, I don't know if I could have left.
Yeah.
Right. How do you walk away? Or how do you, I fell to my knees on the front of the Airbnb and they were telling me they were taking him to Nashville. And I'm still like thinking he's alive in my mind.
I want to go see him.
Yeah. Like this doesn't make any sense. And after that, it's just a blur. I remember telling Abby or being corrected. I was talking to the police officer and she grabbed me and she's like, honey, that's not what happened. So it's just like your brain goes into shock mode. And it's still, even for me, 4 years later, I see pictures of my kids. I see pictures of things that I was there and I don't even remember. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if we'll ever get that back.
Yeah.
It's crazy to me.
Yeah. Yeah. The trauma like blacks out certain things. And yeah, even afterwards, like after like parenting, let's say, I mean, you said your daughter was 16, 17 months. Mm-hmm. Riley was probably like about 14 months too. And I often like, I feel like, you know, she's almost 4 and I'm like, where has your life gone?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't remember it.
And they don't know the other person that made them.
Yeah.
Like that person is a stranger. And then does your oldest try to fill in gaps?
Yes.
Like that's what's crushing is it's like, I have prayer caves for both of them where they just have photos of them and their dad. And Bennett has 5 years and she has, you know, some Christmas photos. She has a family photo, but it's like, so then she'll make up stories to insert herself into his pictures and she'll ask him, they've started this suite. My son has bunk beds. And so she'll want to sleep with Bubby. And he says, he's like, Mama, will I get in trouble if I tell Sissy stories? Cause she wants to stay up. And I was like, Buddy, this is how we keep Daddy alive. This is how we keep his memory. And it's just, as mamas, we want to take this burden and this pain from them. And it's the hardest. I grieve more for them than I do for myself sometimes. It's just, I wouldn't wish it on anybody.
Yeah, I agree. That's been the hardest part of this journey for me is seeing so much pain in my children and literally nothing I can do about it. I can't take it away.
Right.
And just knowing they're going to grow up with that their whole life.
Right.
It's hard.
I know.
So hard as a mom.
I know. And then I think it'll come in phases, right? I don't think they have the gravity of their loss yet because they're so little. But as they get into high school and those monumental things that, I mean, even for Bennett to hit a home run or he's pitching the first game, it's like everything in our life now is so much joy, but so much sadness and so much pain. And it's unfair is not the right word, but it's, I can't explain it to anybody but us, right? The how the rest of our life is two layers forever and ever. And it's just for our kids and them growing and how much they've changed since they've died. It's just, it's wild.
And I think that's also something that's really hard for people that haven't lost like a spouse specifically, like with, while having young kids, it's hard to understand the grief process because, you know, like in the beginning, everyone's there for you and everyone's like, you know, you're sad and you're all these things. But like, for example, Emmy just had her kindergarten graduation. It's been 2 years since Eric died. And I felt like the same way I felt the day he died. Cause I'm like this, he's not here. He's supposed to be here.
Right.
You see mom and dad with their kids. You see, you know, like everything we do with our kids, whether it's 6 months after they died or their high school graduation, it's going to hurt because this is the first time they're doing this, and it's just a reminder of what they don't have, and they should be here.
Yeah.
So that's, I feel like, really hard for people to understand because they're like, well, it's been like a while. Like, why are you still like so sad about it?
And I think it's also us grieving the life that was taken from us,
that we don't get to live anymore. Yeah.
The dreams you have, you bring these kids into the world with your person, and in no way do you ever imagine you would have to do it without them. Like it's so hard.
The hardest thing ever, man. So okay, they come over and they tell you they found him, and then they tell you they're transferring him, and then what happens after that? Do you get to see him?
I chose not to. Everyone does something different.
Yeah,
and absolutely. We don't know what the right thing, what the wrong thing, or a year later, will I regret this, right? And you're still in shock. And for me, I was scared that I didn't know what state he was in. I didn't know he looked as great as he did until after the fact. And I just was like, I cannot let that haunt me for the rest. Like, will I always see that? Will I always, like, my last memory is him dancing, you know, and he's driving the boat and I kiss him on the cheek. And so that was my decision of when, during his funeral, it was closed. His parents, we all live in Tennessee. I was more than happy to let whoever needed to see him do whatever they needed to do. I think there was a part of it where they had an open casket section. Cause it's just like, you don't know what other people need, right? I've lost my husband, but they've lost their son.
Yeah.
And our kids have lost their dad. And I will never try to pretend to understand what that feels like for them. And thinking about losing my son and what we would need is so different from your husband. So that was just kind of my mind of, this is what I need. They can do whatever they need to do. My kids did not come. We had family and family's kids come. But again, they were so little. And I was so scared that image was going to be what we held on to.
Yeah.
And so that was the decision I made. In hindsight, would I change it? No. But are there times where I regret it? Yeah. But you don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know
what you don't know.
Yeah.
And like you said, people grieve in their own way. And I don't think there is a right or wrong.
Right.
I don't think there is, you know,
right.
It's just
there's
whatever's
no stages.
Right
there's
for
no...
you.
Yeah.
It's right for you.
Exactly.
Yeah. When did you tell your kids about it?
So it happened on a Saturday. We went back to my home. My parents were in Illinois visiting my sister. And basically, as soon as they got the call, they all just drove down and they were all in my living room shortly after, which is a 7-hour drive. Yeah. Like it was just, they were there.
Who had the kids while you were?
Kyle's parents.
Okay.
And that was the hard part too, because I remember laying in the Airbnb and Abby being like, Brittany, we have to call Kyle's parents. We have to call somebody. We have to, right? Like we have to tell. And I was like, he's going to walk through the door.
Yeah.
Right. Like this didn't just happen. I'm going to take a nap and this is all going to go away.
Mm-hmm.
And then my in-laws, Kyle's parents, have also lost another child. So I have to take that in consideration because they're already so they are angels on this earth and they are incredible people. And I cannot fathom losing one, but now two kids. And so I'm taking all of this like in consideration and my kids are with them. So how do I call his parents who have our children? And so the whole thing was like I had to be not strategic. That's not the right word, but like how do we do this in like a safe way. I don't even know. I called his aunt. She answered. And basically, long story short, is she ended up waiting. She went to their home and waited till my kids went to bed and asked them to come outside because I was still coming back from the lake. And so I wasn't home yet.
Right.
And that's still like my father-in-law, bless his heart. There's still like a spot in the yard that he remembers. And when he mows, like sometimes he doesn't mow it or mows around it or whatever. Cause that's, they thought, I think it was like Kyle's grandmother. Like they could tell. So anyway, the next day the kids come home and I don't know where Sawyer was. I don't know if she stayed back with my stepmom, if she was with my sister, but I remember my father-in-law, so Kyle's dad, myself, and my dad. My stepmom could have been with me. I wanted to tell him somewhere that wasn't home because I didn't want that to trigger him.
Mm-hmm.
And how I thought through that, I have no idea. Mm-hmm. Tennessee's very hilly, and there's a big, beautiful hill in the middle of Spring Hill where we live, where they used to, if we got a lot of snow, they would ski. And so in my mind, I want to get him as high as I can to the sky. Okay. And so then I just remember we're walking up like this grassy path. He's barely 5 and he's like, Mama, what are we doing? What are we doing? And I'm like walking and we sit down in this field and my father-in-law's there. And, we see this like big, we have this big gust of wind and it just turns into your daddy's not coming home. We were talking about angels and that big gust of wind. Bennett, I remember his sweet little soul. He was like, so is that wind is daddy? And I said, that's your daddy. That's your daddy. There was an accident and I didn't get into the details. He knew we were at the lake, but then I regret that because he learned of every detail while at the cafeteria in kindergarten.
How so?
Just where I taught for so long, there were so many incredible families that knew me. I taught in the same place for 10 years and they rallied around me like no other. But sharing with their kids what happened to their teacher and different things. And so then when Kyle died in May, I went back to teaching in August. Still that whole thing was a blur, but Bennett came with me. My last year of teaching was his kindergarten year. And so it was like, we both walked into this storm of this is on my forehead. This is what happened to us. And one little boy just asked him, did your daddy get hit by a rock? And this whole thing, this narrative started. And so again, you don't know what you don't know. And I gave him enough that I thought was appropriate for a 5-year-old, but then it's like, you want to put them in this bubble and you can't.
Yeah. Yeah, especially when they go to school and they...
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and then what about your daughter? Because she was young.
She was young. All I really remember is, you know, dad's not coming home. And so she would carry like pictures around, like frames, like our wedding photo was like on a nightstand. So she would carry dada around. And then we had like the daddy bears and different things. The one time I think I remember Like, I would sing "You Are My Sunshine" to her, and "You Make Me Happy When Skies Are Gray." And I just remember every night, could not get through that without crying. And eventually she learned, "Mama, why are you crying?" And just, you know, Daddy's not coming home. Yeah. And she was such a hard baby. She was such a hard baby. She had silent reflex and she would not sleep. And it was also like her room was next to mine. So it was almost like she knew when I was grieving because she didn't want me to be alone. It was like this weird sense of between the two of us where she didn't know what was going on, but she did.
Yeah.
She could feel his absence. And you talk about, you know, your people who rally around you. My girlfriends would come and try to rock her and let me, they would take the baby monitor and they would, you know, not ask. They would just, I always, when people ask us like, what's something that helped, it's like, just be in the silence mm-hmm. because your house is now so quiet mm-hmm. and you're sitting trying to grieve, but also trying to parent, but also trying to not just walk out the door. Like, mm-hmm. right. You would never leave your babies, but like, are they the one thing that kept us on this earth? Probably.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah.
For me. So I don't remember having like a set conversation with her, but in her little world, she could just, she just knew.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man. Yeah. That's hard. It's so hard when they're so young. Cause I feel like I kind of had the same conversation with Emmy cause she was like 4 and a half, almost 5
yeah.
also.
Yeah.
So she obviously understood, but yeah, Jax, he was like 2 and a half, and Riley had just turned a year old. So I guess they kind of just grow up just knowing he's not around anymore,
right.
You know?
Right. And were yours home? Or did you have to tell them separately?
Yes. So my husband died at a hotel
okay.
When he was working, and it was like a few hours away in a different state. So I had to like go over there to like pick up all his things mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. He owned a moving company. He was on a job. So like he had someone's house in a box truck. Like I had to deal with all of that
stuff.
You know, like my oldest daughter would call me because her and Daddy were like the best of friends, you know, like, and I remember when I was, I went to pick up his stuff and I'm like dealing with the truck and stuff. And she calls me and she's like, "Mommy, today's the day. Daddy said he's coming home." And she's like, "Can we call him?" Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to tell her over the phone.
Right.
So,
right.
And she was like, so adamant about it. I remember I was like, "Yes, we can call him, but he might not answer because he's working."
Mm-hmm.
I have his cell phone in my mm-hmm. hand. And I was like, "But," and she was like, "Okay, can I leave him a voicemail?" And I was like, "Yes." And so I like call him and I had to mute myself because I was like losing it.
And she's, do you have that voicemail?
I do.
Oh my gosh.
And she's like, "I'm so excited to see you, Daddy. I can't wait." Like all the, you know, like mm-hmm. so happy. And yeah, sometimes I feel like I was the worst mom in the world because here I am like, you know, I know your dad's dead. Like I have all his things mm-hmm. and, mm-hmm. but I couldn't tell her over the phone,
no.
you know?
No.
So yeah, she's just, yeah, I still have that voicemail. And I was like, oh man, it's just the things you have to do for your kids.
Right.
Because I remember too, like when I found out he died, I was home with them, like, and I was with my parents, but that night I couldn't go anywhere because they were like, "You can't drive out here. We're taking his body. Like there's no point of you coming. Like just come in the morning, pick up his stuff." And I'm
it's
home
like a
with
lifetime
my,
movie.
Yeah.
You're like,
yes.
This is actually,
yeah.
You can't even process like what's happening. Why is this happening?
Right.
And you feel so helpless.
Yeah. It's mm-hmm. like you can't do anything. Like
right.
you're stuck. So I'm like at home and then my kids are like, "Come on, Mom, let's go play outside. Let's go on the slide. Let's do this." And at that point, my sister and her fiance came over too to kind of like distract the kids. So I'd have to like go play with them and laugh and smile. And then I'd have to like run in the bathroom because then I'm like, "Oh, wait, my husband's dead." Like you
right.
remember.
Right.
So then I go lose it and then
right.
in the bathroom. And then I remember at the end of the night, like my oldest could kind of tell because she's like, "Mom, is Daddy sick or something? Like is something wrong?" And of course, I'm like, "No."
Right.
Because I didn't know what to say.
Right.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Right.
When I think back to those early days, I'm like, how did I even get through it? Like even parenting, like, I don't know about you, but I mean, I'm sure your brain just completely shifted, but my patience, and like even till this day, like I get so overstimulated like that.
Yep.
And I used to not be like that. Same. I used to be able to handle more, and I feel so bad because I can't handle it. And I know they're kids, right? Like
right.
that's just what they do.
Right. Right.
But sometimes I'm like they'll be fighting or something, and I'm like, I have to leave before I blow up because right. I'm so overstimulated and I can't handle it.
Right.
It's,
but I think there's also a beauty to knowing that now, right? Like
yeah.
we are different people. Mm-hmm. We have different strengths now. And it's just like being so aware is a superpower because you're not blowing up on them, right?
Right.
You are exiting the situation or doing something different. And I think about, I taught 5-year-olds all day, every day.
Right.
And how I did that then, I don't think I could do it now. You know, I have 2 of my own, and even that can be triggering at times.
Yeah.
My therapist used to say, you have a bandwidth, and your bandwidth can only handle so much. And I go back to that so often in my mind. It's like, what, I can't bring Kyle back, but what can I do in now, in today, to make something easier?
Yeah.
And not teaching was a gift. I was gifted, a nonprofit paid my mortgage for a year.
Wow.
And that was like such a blessing where I could at least at that time take a year off and yeah. kind of reevaluate everything for that time, because I still don't know. I knew I needed to be where I was teaching because the community rallied around me, and it was kind of like, that was my bubble. That was what I knew for so long. And that was my safe space. Mm-hmm. And I felt so supported and so loved. But it was like every day, Bennett and I would drive home. It's about 20-30 minute difference. And it was like, I was driving back to room. Like you're saying, you're going into this room. Oh wait, my husband's not home.
Right.
And I have to take the trash out and get the groceries and cook the food. And now I'm going to go to soccer, and I'm going to sit by myself, and I'm going to go to church and sit by myself. And then I'm going to sit on the couch and sit by myself. And it's like, this is not supposed to happen. Well, mm-hmm. how did we get here? Losing your husband's, we meet so many people, and it's like you meet suicide or cancer, or so we lose them in so many different ways. And it's just like, there's not something that happens that's easier than the other. But I think about like, would I be different if I had time to plan, like if he was sick and right. I had time to plan or process? But it's also like, then you're grieving, you know,
so much.
Yeah. So I do those games, right?
Yeah.
Where you're like, if it was this or if it was that, or, you know, would I be a different person? It's just like we have today,
mm-hmm.
and I can't focus on who I was 5 years ago because
right.
she could handle a lot.
So much more.
But also so now
more.
The version of us, think about all that we have handled.
Right.
Right. And the lives that we have now. And it's just like, they are 2 different people. And
absolutely.
It's hard to wrap your mind around that, but there's so much strength.
Yes.
I think in that.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. One thing that really used to just make me so mad was when people would say, you're so strong. You're the strongest
right.
person I know.
Right.
Especially right after he died
right.
when I like was not so strong. Like I couldn't even watch my kids. My parents had them.
Right.
Like I'm just like lying in bed contemplating if I, you know, want to live or not.
Right.
like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That used to piss me off so much.
I know.
But as the years go on, you know, then you kind of start to believe it. You're like, yeah, I am strong. I did
right.
deal with that, you
right.
know, not only for myself, but for these little children that I have.
Right.
I mean, going through it yourself is one thing, but trying to help children that are growing
mm-hmm.
also handle it, it's
right.
hard.
Right.
So yeah, we are strong. So
right.
we do deserve that title, but I know how frustrating it can be to hear it at
right.
times when you're like, no, I'm surviving.
Yeah. Yeah. Barely surviving.
Not strength.
Right. Right. Well, it's given me like a different perspective where I give people more grace now, because I probably would have said the same
yes.
thing,
mm-hmm.
right? You think of all of these people who are walking similar paths as us, or, you know, I always say, be kind. You have no idea
right.
what that person walked into the room carrying and how they wear it on their face or don't.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think that I am strong, or I can't imagine, or it's like, we don't know what else to say.
Yeah.
So it's
just trying to be supportive and
yep.
like do something positive,
yep.
but not being in those shoes before, you don't know
you
how
have
that
no
makes
idea.
People feel.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't know until you know. And my friend Katie always says, she's like, it's like, we've been given this like secret key to life that we want everyone to understand, but we want no one to experience.
Like, so true.
The perspective that we have of life, and it's how fragile it is, but we would never, ever wish this on anyone.
Yes,
absolutely. It's, yeah.
I do feel like, do you feel like your kids now are I don't want to say kinder, but like they are more aware of like not just their emotions, but mm-hmm. other children's emotions around them. Would you say they're more like emotionally intelligent because of this?
I would say they definitely have more empathy. And I think now that I've been remarried for 2 years, I think their visions of like what a family look like, I just feel like they've been forced to grow up so quickly.
Yes.
And like Bennett's had little instances on the school bus where someone teases him that he has two dads. You know, Sawyer is still so young where she hasn't quite grasped the reality of the situation. And she has known Luke longer than she knew Kyle, which is, you know,
heartbreaking
and beautiful. And all of these things. And it's like she acts more like Luke than she did her daddy. And it's just like mine understand that. Hopefully we will meet daddy in heaven one day. And they really want to understand, like, Bennett's always like, but do we call him? How will he find me? Like, he's wanting to understand. And there's so many questions he has that I don't have the answers to, but it's hard as a kid. You think kids can be mean, especially girls.
Yeah.
And I fear like when he gets into middle school mm-hmm. and things aren't as, you know, cute with a bow and we're going to go to elementary school and all the kids are kind, that's my, you know, internal fear.
Yeah.
But I think as mamas, we always, it might be worse for us in our minds
yes.
than it actually is for our kids.
Yeah.
And I don't want to put that on them of, oh, your dad died, so you get this pass on life.
Right.
Yes. Like it's hard with my son and maybe your oldest, like what is grief and what is, they're just being
yes.
nine. They're just being eight. Mm-hmm. This is just a hard day.
Yeah.
That's been difficult. And, or like wanting to give them the world or let's go to Target or like reeling back Christmas after 2-3 years because mm-hmm. we were gifted all these things.
Yep.
And, but that's not reality. Mm-hmm. Like I'm still working on that of you can't spoil the grief out of them.
Yes.
But you also, I don't want them to have this pass where they just get to be jerks to everybody
yes.
because we don't want to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
we don't want to enable that behavior.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's totally, I mean, Kevin and I talk about that all the time because, mm-hmm. you know, now we're in a house with 5 kids who are all grieving and it's like, yeah, are they grieving or are we making the excuse of this behavior and saying, well, they're just grieving, so it's okay.
Or do we project that on
exactly.
them? Like maybe they're not grieving at all, but I think they should
exactly.
be.
Exactly.
So it's
like,
this certain
are we
date
making
or
yes.
Father's Day is coming.
Yes.
So this is probably what,
yes.
like, is it me or is it them?
Mm-hmm.
Like that's
it's
been something.
It's so hard.
Ugh,
yeah. Because I literally said the same thing to him. I was like, I don't want any of our kids to be mean people.
Right.
Like I want them to be kind people. Like
right.
they don't get a pass and be like, oh, that's fine. She did that because her dad's dead.
Right.
You know, like
right.
you can do that,
right.
but it is hard, you know, not, you know, you don't know if it's, is it because they're 7 or 8 or 9 or is it because they're
right.
sad?
When Bennett started to pick up on like our community is small and my story went public very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It went to like the online People magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been in stores where I either get recognized for that story, like they'll run across and say, oh, your husband fell off a cliff.
Gosh.
And like, I'm just, my kids are there. Or because of Never Alone and because of the community I have in Nashville, they'll come up to me and say, my girlfriend's husband just died. And that happens a lot around my kids. And they've just kind of learned, like, mommy is just trying to help other
yeah.
people. It's such a gift for your kids and Kevin's kids. You have that at your home. Like,
yeah.
what a blessing that is. Because
yeah.
for him to find other kids who have lost. He's been to one camp here in Nashville, Better Together, which is a dear friend of mine. She does it in her front yard. I think it's 20 kids in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, we know how powerful it is and how healing it is to find each other. And I want that
yes.
for my kids
mm-hmm.
because he wants this to be a secret. He doesn't want to talk about it, but it's like, you can't push it down for so long.
Yeah.
And I want so badly for him to find that one boy or that one
yeah.
kid who's like, he gets me.
Yeah.
Right.
And when he went to that camp,
mm-hmm.
did you notice like a difference with him, like being around other kids?
Yeah.
That were,
yeah.
Yeah,
for sure. And he unravels very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just, he was going to counseling regularly and now they're so great because if he'll be like, he needs this or he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so I appreciate that. Sometimes he's doing really well and sometimes it comes out of the blue.
Yeah.
And I think for us, not hiding our grief gives them the permission to not hide theirs.
Oh, absolutely.
Because yeah. Bennett sometimes will, you know, at the dinner table or, you know, no trigger, no prompt, no nothing. And it's like, but that makes sense because I do that.
Yeah.
And I feel like if we hide it, they feel like they can't grieve yeah. or they can't, you know, speak their perspective. So I think finding those other kids where they feel seen mm-hmm. is so powerful.
Yeah. I definitely agree. Yeah. Cause I remember Emmy, cause she did start kindergarten last year. And one of her things was she would tell me like, I don't want to go to school. I don't want to go to kindergarten. I'm going to be the only one with a dead dad. Like no one's right. going to, you know, like,
right.
and there is fortunately a grief group by us and it's every other week for kids.
Oh,
so we do
so
have
great.
The kid, like the older girls, I think you have to be 5 or 6 to join.
Mm-hmm.
And just the difference in her. Like, I notice when we're there and she's mm-hmm. around kids that not only know that her dad's dead, but their dad or their mom is also
right.
not there anymore.
Right.
She just feels safe.
Yeah.
And it's really cool
and
to
heard.
See that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish there were more of those things, like for kids and just.
Right.
Yeah.
I know. Like I wish we could all get them in one room.
Yeah.
Right. That would
yeah.
be my dream.
Yeah.
Because it's like, we know how it makes us feel. Thank God my dad is still living. Right.
Yeah.
I don't know what
yep.
our kids and what they've experienced. And I'm so thankful. I grew up as an only child. I didn't meet my sister till later in life. And so I always just see them on the couch together or snuggling or whatever. And I'm just like, I don't get it, but they do.
Yeah.
Right. And that's such a blessing.
Yeah, it is. That's a relationship and a bond that, that's a strong bond.
Yeah.
It's really cool to have.
Yeah.
I always look at my kids like that too. And I'm like, man, you guys have each other
yep.
for life. And that's amazing.
Yep.
Yeah. Did you know before he died of it was drowning, right? Or was it from the rock?
The autopsy said both.
Okay.
It took 7-8 weeks. That was a whole thing. I didn't really understand how long that was going to take. But yeah, the autopsy, he had blunt force trauma. So he didn't feel it. So he was unconscious. It also said that he drowned. And they found him at, I think it was 280 feet of water.
Oh.
And it took robotics. Like, I don't know how often, you know, accidents happen at lakes or what that even looks like because I didn't go out there. But they say a lot of times they don't find them because of the current, because of how fast the lake moves. So that in itself, that they were able to like retrieve him and find him where he was like almost a miracle. We could have assumed that it was the drowning, but ultimately I think had he not been hit, it would have been totally different.
Yeah.
He would have just fallen.
Would have been, mm-hmm. Right. Have you been back to the lake or have you? You have not.
I have not. We don't have friends that boat often. It, like I said, it was something we went to maybe once to twice a year, but we always rented. I've done a lot of therapy, a lot of different type of therapy. I've done EMDR. I've been to an on-site retreat. Like you give your phone and you do the whole, you mm-hmm. know, the world shuts down for 5 days. And so there's a lot of things that are like that, that it's like, I feel like it'll take me backwards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, I know in a sense it will be therapeutic, but like, I've also never gone through his phone. Like it's in a big chest with all of his things that moved from one house to another. And it's like, I think that seeing Kyle's phone, like me through his eyes will wreck me.
Yeah.
So the lake is something that's like that. Have we had the opportunity? And I've turned, no one has asked, right? Mm-hmm. We have friends that go and do things, but no, I don't know. When I'm on Instagram, especially like Memorial Day and mm-hmm. 4th of July, like the second it pops up, like I completely shut down.
Yeah.
So actually physically going there, I don't know what that would do.
A big trigger mm-hmm. that you can't. And even because I saw you posted recently, your daughter was taking swim lessons and that was kind of a little trigger too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, you feel like you're just supposed to get this book of this is what's going to bother you. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't know till you're in it.
Right.
It's hard. Bennett learned to swim before Kyle died. And so that obviously he's always been a good swimmer. And so this year she turned 5 and we don't have a pool at our home, but we go to the neighborhood pool often.
Mm-hmm.
And I told Luke, I was like, I know this is expensive, but this is important. And it wasn't like learn to swim, but it was more like the survival where they like throw her in and teach her how mm-hmm. to flip over. My brain just goes right back to all of that. And when you talk about patience, like in the pool, I'm always panicked. Like I'm always looking one direction. Like, where is he? Like I'm doing head counts, my stress level, my anxiety near water. Luke and I went to New York 2 Christmases ago. We walked over the Brooklyn Bridge and I was almost in the fetal position. Why? Why? That water had nothing to do with the lake water. Like, I don't know until it's happening. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was like, okay, I'm close enough to fall in.
Maybe just seeing a large body of water.
Maybe. And bless Luke's heart. Like, you know, he's like Kevin. They're learning. We're all learning as we go. Mm-hmm. And so we've learned different strategies to help me before I get to that point where mm-hmm. I just stop speaking. Mm-hmm. And it's like my world's here and no one has any idea what's going on mm-hmm. upstairs. And, but yeah, the swim lessons were definitely the closest I've felt to that panic attack. I cannot lose them.
Right.
And it's not like a suffocating feeling, but it's like fear of losing someone else is real, right. is very real. Yeah. And to think about your babies, like yeah. just take me.
Because you know
take
how easily it can happen
yeah.
and how just yeah. out of the blue and out of nowhere yeah. anything could go wrong. And
right.
yeah, I think that's another thing too, that like the fear of losing our kids.
Right.
That happens to me too. And my mind will wander. And I'm like, why am I thinking right. these things?
You're like, do I homeschool? I'm yeah. in a bubble. Yes. And we never leave. Like, yeah. is that this day?
Yes. In this house
yes.
forever.
Forever.
Yeah. It's a big fear. It's yeah. scary. You never know.
Yeah.
So talking about Luke.
Yeah.
So when did you guys meet?
It was about a year after Kyle passed. And so he died when I was 31. It's kind of weird to say, but he worked in insurance. And so it was like, we had, we talked about all these like random scenarios, if this happened or if that. And so it was like, I had this piece about dating because we had talked about that in a weird way. Mm-hmm. I wasn't hesitant to start dating. I just wanted to make sure that I was okay. I didn't want to like pick up my bag and like hand it to somebody yes. else. Because of my childhood and how my parents divorced when I was so young, it was kind of like I watched them get remarried or date lots of people or what have you. And it was kind of like, it's me and the kids, and there's so much to consider here that I'm not just dating someone for me. I'm dating someone for all of us. Right. So I, like I said, did all the counseling, all the therapy, all the church, all the retreats. And I finally just remember feeling like I'm in a good space. And if I can handle this, you know, I just kept praying, God, if I open these doors and this isn't it, I want you to close them. Because right. I didn't know, like, your judgment is so skewed. Mm-hmm. And I also didn't want to just meet the first man that walked into my life and that was it, right?
Yeah.
It's different from a rebound,
yeah.
but you also are so vulnerable.
Yeah.
You're in a whole different, like, I was 19
yeah.
and now I'm 31 with two kids and I watched my husband die. Like, nice to meet you. Mm-hmm. Right. Like that's, you yeah. can't really put that on an app.
Right.
Like what is this? And you don't want to like, so that was the whole thing. I'm like, what do I put on my dating profile that doesn't, and like,
that won't scare people away.
Right. And then it's also like, we're not divorced. And that makes me really angry. Right. Mm-hmm. Like when I'm at Target and my kids are screaming and you're talking about, you know, you want it, you don't, but you do want it across your forehead. At that point, I had taken my wedding ring off and people are like looking at me like my kids are crazy.
Yeah.
And I just was like, I didn't choose this. So
yeah.
everyone to know, right? Yeah. This was not my plan.
Right.
Doing the apps at now 31. I don't know what I'm doing. This
right.
isn't real life, right? You're swiping because men are attractive, but also like, are you a dad? Are you not a dad? Like you think like I'm going to date a dad or I'm going to meet a guy. Like my options were church, Kroger, and the elementary school where I taught. And that's your,
yeah.
my chances weren't great. So anyway, I wanted to be in a good space to even like think about having, you know, dating for fun, not marriage or anything serious, but like I wanted to be healthy. And so when that kind of came, when I felt like I was in a good place, my girlfriends encouraged me to do the dating apps. And so I went on two or three like first dates. And I just remember like, what is life? Like, what?
Why am I here?
You feel like you're cheating.
Yes.
Right?
Oh my gosh.
You feel
yes.
like you're cheating.
Yes.
One of the dinners, I'm like downtown in a very popular restaurant and a student comes and like slams his face on the window and he's like, says my name. And I'm just like, I have to walk out like right now. Like what? I can't
gosh.
Do this. Like what? How did I get here?
Yes. We're never supposed to date anyone else.
No,
again.
No. And he's talking about his fish tank and I'm just like, is this real? So it was just comical, but I'm thankful I say that because when I met Luke, I had already been you know, that Band-Aid had already been right. ripped off. And I feel like if he would have been the first for me, I would have been very hesitant out of fear. And so our story is very, very sweet. And I feel like God has had a hand in it long before we ever knew. And so the school where I taught, I say, you know, I'm not going to meet a man at the grocery store or church or the elementary school, but I did meet Luke at the elementary school cafeteria.
Aww.
So his niece was in my kindergarten class and I had known Luke's mom. She was the secretary. And so she was one of like the first motherly figures that I had when I moved to Tennessee. My parents were 7 hours away. And I just remember her feeling so comfortable and so kind when I started. I was 22 when I met Susan. And she, at the time, I think it was 2012, Luke was living, he was in Alabama. I believe he was getting his grad degree. And we teased him like she should have had his like business cards. Like she was trying really hard. He was the only one that's not married. And I was married at the time. And, you know, and I just remember her talking to me about her son, Luke, and how mm-hmm. smart he is. And he's the black sheep of the family. And he's got this really great job. And I'm trying to be polite and not tell her I'm married.
Right.
Because this woman is like so sweet and so kind.
Yeah.
And so it takes her a few weeks. I didn't say anything. I don't know if someone came down to tell her in my classroom, but she was just like, honey, I had no idea. And she was just like completely.
She was embarrassed.
Yes. So that was 10, you know, 10 years ago at the time. And so fast forward, no one really knows at school. It's almost the end of the school year that I'm like dating-ish. Luke comes to have lunch with his niece. And I thought that it was her dad. So I'm walking right. through the lunch line and I was like, oh, hey, it's so nice to meet you. Your wife works upstairs. Or I can't remember. I'm jumbling. I think he's cute. And so yeah. I'm jumbling and I'm thinking he's married and he's a dad.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh no, I'm her Uncle Luke. And I'm like, I've heard about you. Right.
Starting 10 years ago.
Yes. And so now I feel set up, right? Like this is a setup uh-huh. and you're here and you're here for me. And I feel like Susan's like in the corner, like I'm being punked. And I just like start mumbling my words. There was two different dates where I like mixed them together in my mind where I think he may have saw me in December mm-hmm. and his mom was like, no, not now,
yeah.
not yet.
Yeah.
not right. And I had no idea that yeah. even happened. So Luke claims like he was coming to eat pizza, but he knew a little bit about my story, not to the extent. Anyway, he goes through the line, he gets pizza. He says, cafeteria pizza changed his life. That's his like, aww, that's his little, that's so his thing. Sweet. It was in his vows. It was very sweet.
That's so cute.
I know we tried to get like the rectangle pizzas like that are on the tray at our wedding. Couldn't aww. Find them, but that was a thought. But I start jumbling after I realize that he is single and who he is. And so he comes out and Susan's in the hallway and I was like, do you want to come back to my classroom? What? I like, and like literally
I have 20 kids behind me and now I'm like,
did I really just say that? And meanwhile, I know that I'm like not staying at Perry Creek, but I'm also trying to be professional and like, and now I'm dating in the hall. I don't know. I don't know what's happening. So he comes down and his niece is like taking her math quiz and him and his mom walk in and she's like beaming, right? She's like, I've been waiting for so long for this. And she's like, she looks up, she goes, Uncle Luke, why are you in here? And we're all like, we don't know. Like, we have no idea what just happened. Like, I don't even remember if he said anything.
Oh my God.
And just walked out. And I remember I was supposed to have a date that night. And I remember it canceled for some reason. I went to my girlfriend's, we were like hot tub and we had some wine. And I just remember thinking, I'm going to text Susan and I'm going to get Luke's number because how else yeah. am I going to do that? Right. Yeah. And like, at this point we don't care. Like
yeah.
you have nothing to lose.
Right.
Am I going to swipe 1,000 times and find him? Like, I don't yeah. know what's happening here. And so I text her and meanwhile I'm texting Susan to get her son's phone number. Luke leaves the cafeteria and goes to a bar and calls his best friend. And he's like, there's this girl. Do I like, I'm not asking my mom for her phone number. I'm not. Like, and he was like, do I send a courier pigeon? Like, do I put a note in her mailbox at school? Like, I don't know if he was going to find me on Instagram, but we were both like trying to figure out how do we do this weird situation, right? And make it make sense. So I texted Susan. She was just like, oh my gosh, we've been praying about this for so many months and whatever. And it's like, it's delicate, right? Yeah. And it's sensitive and I've got kids and it's this whole thing, but it was just like, it was so sweet and it felt so right. And so, I mean, that was a Friday. We had drinks on a Monday. I had just left therapy. So I'm just like a wreck. And I'm just like, what is this? Now I'm in a bar on Broadway. My kids are with a babysitter and I'm just like, hi, I'm Brittany. Like, what is actually happening? Yeah. Like, I'm sweating. He's super intelligent. I have no idea what he's saying. And I'm just like, I think we should probably get married, right? Like, this is it. Like, this, someone planned this a minute ago. And it was just, it was easy because it was like, he felt vetted. I knew his family. Yeah. They were good people. It was like, him already knowing the situation before and him wanting and being willing to come to that date meant everything to me. Yeah. It was like, I was immediately comfortable. My walls, you know, had gone down. He doesn't know anything about how to date a widow and he, you know, didn't have children. And so it was just like, I didn't know what this was going to look like. And I think that freedom of, we're going to make this the best, you know, make the best of this situation was so life-giving. And we went to like Cedar Point. We did lots of like baseball games and we went to New York City and just, I felt like a kid again.
Yeah.
Right. You find that sliver of joy and you know that it's not going to last. So you're like, I'm going to hold on to this good day. You're hanging on. And that person, he is so gracious. And it's like, I don't know how you exist because if the roles were reversed, which is such a gift that you and Kevin have that perspective, but like, I don't know if I could do what Luke does. I talked to my girlfriends who are widows and who are engaged or married. And it's just like, the grace and the compassion and all the hell that I sometimes put him through. I have no idea. Mm-hmm. I have no idea.
I often say that too. Like, I don't think I could, if, you know, never being a widow and being married to Eric or anything, I don't think I would have been able to date a widower.
Right.
I don't know if I would. Yeah. It definitely takes a special
person.
Type of person.
Yeah.
To be able to handle that.
You think about, you know, my mind, like, okay, at my age, am I going to find a man who's divorced? Am I going to meet someone who's divorced? But then you're thinking, okay, then there's a whole other package with that. So you think you know how it's going to go and you have no idea.
Yeah.
Right. And you're just like, well, there's no time frame. There's no rule book. We're just one day at a time. And so we were engaged 11 months from that. Like I said, we went to New York City and we were taking these pictures by like the Rockefeller Center. Mm-hmm. I'm like not breathing because I think he's proposing and he doesn't that whole trip. And I come home and like everyone, like, you know, we share a lot on social media and they're like, oh my gosh, Luke didn't propose. And it's like, they feel like they know you. And I was like, yeah, I don't know if it's happening. I don't know. But we bought a house together and he proposed. We had Chick-fil-A on the floor. We didn't have any furniture and we went up and the kids are picking their rooms and I like turn around and he's on a knee.
Aww.
And, what he hands me before I think this is how it went, right? We block things out. I think this is the order. He'll tell me later. He hands me a letter and it just says Luke's wife. Aww. And it's a letter from Susan that she wrote in 2014 about, she's like, I know I don't know you yet, but I've been praying for you since Luke was born and all these things. And it was just like, and so I'm reading it and it's not making sense because I'm like, why, what is this?
Yeah.
And then he proposes and I'm just like, oh my
stop.
Gosh.
That is so sweet.
So I still have, the letter in my closet of all my special trinkets, but it was very sweet.
Oh, so, that's adorable.
Yeah.
I love that so much.
Yes.
So how long after you guys were dating, did you know like, okay, he can meet the kids?
That's a great question. You want to make sure it's not like that he has to be the one to meet the kids. Mm-hmm. Right. But it's also like we were dating for a while and for maybe 2 months, it was like my brain was two different people. It was like I was going out and, you know, getting dressed up and going on the town and then I'm home making mac and cheese or I'm in my kindergarten classroom. Like, what is life?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then I'm also grieving and probably crying myself to sleep. Like, I have no idea. And so I remember thinking it was Mother's Day and I was going to the zoo with my sister and her family. And I thought, okay, I feel really good about him. And I just knew, regardless if it didn't work out, he's just a genuinely good person. Mm-hmm. And I didn't see any negatives. If we broke up, if we got married, whatever, like I knew he was going to have a powerful, like good influence on my kids, regardless of how him and I worked out. So I felt at peace with that. And it was kind of easy because my kids knew their family because of school. So it was probably about 2 months, maybe a little under. I thought in my mind, you know, I have girlfriends say, well, I'm not doing it for 3 months or 6 months. And you like want to put a timestamp on it,
but why does it matter?
What's the difference? Right. And if you feel a certain way about it and you feel your kids are going to be safe, then I say go with that.
Yeah.
Or some people, you know, they'll judge us because you got engaged too soon or you're not dating yet or like we can't ever win.
No, our timing is always wrong.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Yeah.
To someone wrong. Else, it's never good enough.
Right. No, right.
Did you get judged for dating?
100%.
Yeah.
Because we share so openly on social media and mm-hmm. I don't share for the attention. I share because it helps us find each other.
Yes.
And like you said, all I wanted to do was, I remember crawling in a closet. I had a friend who had been widowed and she was the first person I called. And it's like, you just want to know you're going to survive.
Yeah.
You want to know what this looks like. And so when you get out of the fog and realize, okay, I can be that for other people. People mm-hmm. poured into me. So how can I help? Right. This is why I'm here right now. It's like you want to connect those dots so badly. And so for me, I can't just share the hard. I want to share both because every day is different. And that's hard for them to wrap their minds around of I shared so much about Kyle and my kids before any of this. They felt like they knew him.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like they're also losing him in a way. And so when Luke and I started dating, like I said, it's like, it's too soon. It's not soon enough. It's all of those things.
Yeah.
And for my kids, you know, they don't call him dad. They call him Lukey. And I just kind of let them drive. I don't know what it is to be in their shoes, like I've said. And so it's just literally learning as we go.
Yeah.
And the zoo felt comfortable. That was their first time because it wasn't like, let's have a family dinner and like stare at each other and be awkward and not know what to say. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, lots of people, big environment, lots to talk about. It's fun for them.
Yeah.
And my sister was vetting him. Right. Yeah. So I have like that was, I don't know if that was the first time she met him probably. That was really great. And he went, I think, to dinner afterwards because it was Mother's Day with his mom. And we both just felt really good about it. We started kind of doing cookouts here and there on Sundays and you want to be able to picture it again.
Yeah.
You know, you've done, I was on my own at that point for year and a half. And it's like the companionship, the nighttime, let's watch Netflix or mm-hmm. eat popcorn or like those moments. But I also don't want to just jump into something because I'm lonely.
Right.
It's so confusing and so hard to know.
Yeah. And I think that's really hard for people to understand too, that have never been through it and why they're so quick to judge.
Yeah.
But like, okay, maybe it's been a year, but for us, it feels like
eternity.
Yes. Because like you said, we no longer have, you know, our Netflix buddy or anyone to just hang out with when the kids are asleep or to do those things with. Like you're alone.
Right.
You're doing bedtime alone.
Right.
And then you're going to sit on the couch and you're like, oh.
Right.
Okay.
I didn't say that.
Like, it's so sad. And I mean, I've met people that have met their now husbands or wives like 6 months after their partner died. And I'm like, who am I to judge? Like, you know, like we can't judge. We're not in their shoes.
Right.
Everyone grieves differently. But if you've never been through it, especially like,
you can't,
you know, like it's so different than like, oh, my husband, you know, works out of state like for half the summer. Yeah, but he's still alive. So
I know, doesn't that drive you crazy? It's like,
I know what it's like to be alone.
Yes.
It's like,
my husband's out of town for the weekend and I'm just like, oh,
okay.
And that's hard. Do you feel like when Kevin's not around, like Luke has business trips, work trips, mm-hmm. and that's triggering.
Yeah.
And it's like, I can't put Luke in a bubble and he can't, you know, be allowed to do all these things.
Yeah.
But it's like, I remember when he's gone, I remember how hard it was. And then I text all my widow girlfriends, Emily Burns, she's 5 years out and she's dating ish, not remarried. And it's like, she's still doing it. She's still doing the thing. And it's, I just want to get on a plane and go to Pennsylvania and I want to sit on the couch with her. Like that's all I want to do.
Yeah.
It's crushing.
It is. Yeah. And it's so, I mean, little triggers, like you said, like if he goes on a business trip, you're like, oh my gosh, you know, it's a trigger.
Yeah.
I feel like for me, Kevin doesn't really go on business trips. So he's gone like to family events, like maybe a couple times with his girls. And yes, like the nights are hard because I'm like, it takes you back to that time where you were doing it all alone.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my gosh. Yeah. Like I
know. And I don't know if that will that ever go away.
I don't know.
Like I try to read, I try to watch TV. All of that is still hard for me because
I can't do it either.
Yeah. I mean, you don't know what's on the other side of this storyline or what they're going to talk about. Like I read fantasy, like fiction, because it can't possibly be real and it can't trigger me because they're fairies, right? Like it can't happen. But like songs, you can't avoid it. Today we went to church and the entire sermon was the widow being the outcast, the outsider, and how God provided for her. And, you know, Luke's here. And then I just met this woman who now knows I'm a widow and I'm sobbing. And it's like, I walked into this having no idea this was the topic today, or I turned the radio on, or now I'm watching Yellowstone. Mm-hmm. It's everything.
Yeah.
You don't realize that it's everything until, so just, do I just sit and stare at the ceiling?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if that will ever go away.
Yeah. I don't think so. I don't think it will either. That happens to me a lot too, especially like when we're watching movies or watching TV shows, because Eric was an addict and he died of an overdose. And you know, that's like on TV shows and movies and stuff like that. So yeah, there'll be times where they like talk about something like that and I'll be sitting with Kevin and he'll just like put his hand on my leg because he just knows. And I'm like,
one show off topic that I highly recommend, Landman.
Oh my gosh.
Right.
So good.
Right.
So
because
good.
I was just so thankful because it was from both of their perspectives of dating. And I just remember him mowing the lawn and she was like, why are you doing that? And he's like, cause I don't know else to, to help.
Yes.
Just to do something, do anything. Don't ask me what I need.
Yeah.
Just do something. And I remember that whole show, like what's his name? Billy Bob. Like it's funny. It's all the things you, that happens within the first 5 minutes, you're like, great, here we go again.
Yeah.
But I loved the perspective that they gave the young guy's character.
Yeah.
Because
Kevin
and
I cried. Like we were like, oh my gosh. You know, like you are reliving it, but they did they played it so well.
Yeah.
Like it really was so good.
Yeah.
Because I get that a lot too. People will be like, what, you know, like, oh, my best friend's husband just died. Like, what can I do?
Yeah.
You really can't do anything other than go be there.
Yeah.
You know, like there's nothing you can say to her. There's nothing you like if you can bring him back, that's great.
Yeah.
That's what she wants. Mm-hmm. But other than that, like go do her laundry, watch her kids while she takes a nap. Like, we don't even know what we need.
No.
We just need you to be there and do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Buy groceries, feed her kids, not her because she's probably not eating, but you know, like just do the things.
I know.
Yeah.
And they sat down. I remember she had like a box of wedding photos.
Yes.
Right. And he was like, tell me every story.
Yeah.
And I just look at Luke and it's like, I don't know how someone else comes into this situation, but like what a gift it is that you have someone that gets it or that has grace and compassion and that wants to know that you lived a whole different life before them.
Yeah.
And that doesn't just go away. So yeah, I highly recommend that one.
Yeah. That one's a really good
beautiful.
One. I remember Kevin making a comment, like whoever wrote this was probably a widow.
Exactly. They've watched this.
They got it.
There's not many that do that perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really good. That was a really good show.
Yes.
So you did mention your kids do not call him dad, right?
Yeah.
You, after you got married, did you ever talk, or even before you got married, was there ever any talk about like adoption?
That's a big one. I knew that I didn't want to change their last name because that's their part of, you know, that's their daddy's legacy.
Yes.
And I wouldn't want to take that from them nor make that decision for them.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about adoption. I remember like doing my will and my trust and all those things. It's not something that we've done yet. I know it's sometimes things that people do really quickly. Luke didn't really plan to have kids.
Mm-hmm.
He had several like long-term relationships and it wasn't, the way he describes it to me is it wasn't that he didn't want to have kids. It was just some people, it's like their life you know, mission, a calling, and some people don't have that. And he always said, you know, I was never going to tell the woman I love, like, that we couldn't have a family, but it wasn't something that drove him.
Right.
And so I remember he was 35, 36. And I'm like, okay, how are you single? You've never been married. How, where are your kids? Like, what is wrong with you? Mm-hmm. Like, so there has to be something.
It's like, I've just been waiting for
just
you.
Just waiting for me. It's been on Broadway for a minute. Just waiting in the wings or probably in the cafeteria somewhere.
Or right? Eating some pizza.
We've talked about adoption. It's not something that we've done yet. What about y'all?
I feel the same way about, the last name.
Yeah.
Also, you know, everyone does everything different, but I think from what we've talked about too, if we were or when we do get married, I don't think I would change my last name, mm-hmm. at least not yet.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we've talked about adoption, but it's hard.
Yeah.
It's sad.
I know.
It's so sad. And it's like, yeah, I get it from a legal standpoint. You know, it's maybe better that they have a dad, like legally and sure. like all these things, but... It is really hard. And, you know, sometimes we talk about it too, and we're like, should we let them decide that?
Right.
Like when they're old enough
to understand.
Yeah. Like, should we give them that option? And if they want, you know, us to adopt them, then do it.
Yeah. Because so much of this has been out of our control.
Yes.
Where it's like, if you can give them some choice,
yeah.
like why not?
Yeah.
Why
yeah.
not?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. So it's like, but then we always think like, okay, but like when is the right time? Because like, what if they're like 12 or 13 and they're like, okay, like I want you to adopt me, you know, and then they get older and they're like, no, you know, you just, there's so many questions.
Yeah. What ifs and the time.
Yeah.
But I also feel like, when we do remarry, if you do, it's like, I don't want it just to be a box I check off.
Yes.
Right? You want it to have thought and intention. And mm-hmm. the dad thing, I know when they're younger, a lot of families or a lot of women who remarry, that is something that they do. And it wasn't that I told my kids not to call him dad. It was just something, I think, because Bennett, like you said, your oldest, they were so close. I don't know, because Luke and I didn't plan to have kids together. It wasn't like... we started dating. It was like, I don't want kids. That was never the conversation. It was just like, my kids have been through so much. And at our age, I'm 36. He's almost 39. We're 3 years apart. But it's also like, we're not 20 anymore.
Yeah.
And we like to travel and all of these things that are logical where we want to have money to provide and just give them everything we possibly can.
Yeah.
And that some people had issues with, where it's like, they feel like you have to have a child to merge your families mm-hmm. to make it make sense. And that works for some people. And I was just like, Kyle had the procedure not to have any more children, but like, a month before he died. Mm-hmm. So even for me, that chapter
was closed
before anything even happened. Yeah. And so the fact that Luke was like, I'm good. And I'm like, I'm good.
Yeah.
Then
it worked out.
Yeah. It worked out.
Yeah.
So they just naturally started calling him Luke, Lukey. His real name's John Lucas. So if sis is mad at him, she'll say John Lucas.
that is so cute.
Real too. But yeah, maybe they'll call him dad, or I've heard like, Daddy Kyle, or I've heard, you know, different versions to say it, but it's just like, I want them to figure it out.
Yeah. That's how like my youngest does call Kevin dad.
Yeah.
And like, same with your daughter. She's also known Kevin, you know, longer than she knew her dad. And also she never called Eric daddy because she was that young.
That was
like, I don't even think.
Like, she was just learning to talk?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. I mean, maybe she did, like, there, you know, she was talking, but it's not something, like, I can remember her, like, you know, daddy, and all this stuff. So, yeah, it's something else when you, like, hear her saying daddy to Kevin.
Right.
And because she does it, like, sometimes my son will do it too, but he still talks about daddy, like, meaning Eric. So it's like, yeah, whatever they want to do, then they'll do it. So
I think blending your families too, I'm sure they're like, they're looking to each other.
Yes.
Like, what do I do?
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Right. So
that's
a positive, because they've got somebody to kind of bounce that off. Because when you were asking about empathy for other kids, Bennett has learned families look different.
Yep.
And that is okay. And it's okay to ask questions, but it's also like, sometimes you just not knowing, right? You don't want to be nosy. You don't want to, you know, ask the wrong question. But for him, that gives our family more grace because he's like, oh, wow. Like he had a friend her parents got divorced. And so he was just kind of talking to her about, you know, yeah, my family's different too. And that's okay. And we just want our parents to be happy.
Yeah.
And it's like at nine, their little hearts are just so mature.
I know.
And I think about them at 18 and like looking back at this time and looking back at, you know, when Luke and I got married, Bennett walked me down the aisle. And so that was a whole moment. And then I also danced with my dad, but then half of that song I danced with Kyle's dad.
Oh my gosh.
And so that was such a gift, but also like there's parts of us that don't ever want to let go.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that adoption thing, right? This wasn't part of the plan and they are us.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard.
Yeah.
It's very hard.
Yeah, it is really hard. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I don't feel like that's my decision to make, even though, you know, we are their moms. And like I said, if you want to do that with your kids, that's fine. But me personally, I just, I don't know. I even have a hard time. Like, I don't even think I've told Kevin this, but I have a hard time thinking, cause we were planning getting married in November of this year and then we just got really busy. So like the wedding planning just kind of stopped. But like thinking about it lately, you know, like every time I talk about my husband, I'm talking about Eric.
Yeah. And you can't say, so sometimes I'll say my new husband and I catch myself
and be like,
not like I'm shopping. Like I did that the other day because I was like introducing Luke to someone. I was like, this is my new husband, Luke. And I was like, oh my gosh, like what?
My new husband.
Yeah, my new husband because I have an old one.
Oh, but
let's not get into that. Like it's just.
That is too funny.
Yeah, so what do you say?
I know. Yeah.
My now husband?
Yeah.
Like what? I don't know what that looks like.
Oh my gosh, there's this like funny trend on TikTok. What does it say? The like girl starts talking and her husband's like in the car.
My current husband.
Yes.
That works.
Current husband.
That works and that's actually real. So yeah, well, then it's not from Kevin, but from Luke's perspective, I'm his only wife.
Right?
So it's just like it gets real weird real quick and I'm just like, well, let's just leave it at that. Let's just not get into it.
Sometimes we can joke because obviously like you know his wife's dead too, so the dark humor like really comes out. We were on a cruise recently a few months ago. This sounds so bad. It's pretty dark, but I thought it was funny. We're zip lining. So we're like zip lining to, you know, you have to zip line and then you go to the next one and there's a line behind us and we meet this super cute couple. They're a lot younger.
Oh no, that's
they're
the worst.
A lot younger than us.
It's the worst. I've done this in New York City and I just like am staring at them. I'm looking through their souls.
And you know, we're like talking. I don't even know how it came out that we're both widows. Oh, I think they asked us how we met.
They're like,
and we
they
met
wanna,
at
like,
Camp
quickly,
Widow.
They want to back up and they can't.
Yes. So, you know, we're like talking about that. And then, they like quickly skip over that because it's awkward. You don't know what to say.
Yep.
And then we're like at the last zip line, which is like the most dangerous one. Kevin goes first and then I go and I like held on to the thing the wrong way.
Uh-huh.
And the guy goes, do you want to see your husband again? Because if you want to see him, you need to do this the right way. And I said, well, either way I do it, I'll see one.
Like I got one.
I said, even though we weren't married, I was like, I guess I'll just see which one I see.
Yep.
And
keep
the guy didn't know. So he was like so confused. And the kid in the back was the one who was like, oh my God.
You're like, now you know.
But the dark humor jokes are so fun. And
I have
when people don't know what to say, it's like.
You like to, like sometimes I want to make you real uncomfortable.
Yes.
Like, I have a group of widows. So Never Alone Nashville is something that I started with some friends in 22. And so since then I have like a smaller group of widow friends and our chat is called Wid Talk instead of, what's the Mormon show that Mom Talk?
Mom Talk,
so
yes.
Ours is Wid Talk. And the dark humor
that.
In that gets real.
Oh
yeah. Or like one just started dating. And so we're talking her through like, is she alive? Like she, you know, we're seeing her life 360. Oh my gosh. And I'm not going to say her name, but She went on a date and her dot was literally looked like it was in a trailer park. And it was because his apartment had just gotten built. So the map hadn't caught up, but we were just like, well, she's going to die. Like this is
her last
this
night.
This is her last night. So our wood talk, our dark humor is pretty spot on. Gosh, or if you go to restaurants, I often feel like we're going to get kicked out because it's like, one of my friends, she's like, well, you know, his ashes were in my Lululemon bag. And I was just like,
we need to like lower our voices. Yeah.
Lower your voice.
It's so fun though, that group where they just like get it. You know, it's, I feel like that's also therapeutic.
100%.
You know, it's like, if we don't laugh, we'll cry. So
right,
why
exactly.
Not
so we're in this together because none of this makes sense.
No,
so.
Absolutely yes. Not. Yeah, I love that. I remember too, like my cousin, I mean, she was like my savior after Eric died.
Yeah.
And I mean, I feel like I got the dark humor pretty quickly.
Yeah.
After he died.
Yeah.
So I would always like make these jokes with her and I could tell she was like so uncomfortable and she'd tell me like, I don't know what to say. And then like the first time she met Kevin, he came over because I was at her house. So he picked me up at her house and he came in and they were like talking and he said a dark humor joke and I started cracking up and she was like, oh.
Someone gets it.
She was like, okay. Yeah. She's like, so that's normal.
And now she's probably relieved because you have someone.
Yes. So she
share.
Was like, okay, like it just made her feel better. But I was like, yeah, it's just a thing we do. We have to.
Yeah, you to have survive. To. That's right.
Oh my gosh. Well, I think that's all the questions I have for you here today. Thank you for sharing your story.
You're
I know
so
how
welcome.
Hard it is to relive these things that are not fun, but part of our stories. Yeah. I do have one more question, actually.
Yeah.
What is something that Kyle taught you that you carry with you every day?
Oh, my goodness. We were polar opposites. I was very small town, would not, you know, try new things, do new things. And Kyle loved life. He loved every minute. He was skydiving. He was on a motorcycle. How he lost his life. Like I can't, it's kind of weird to say, but it's just like, it's such a Kyle way to go out, right?
Yeah.
There's a Hardy song, about give heaven some hell, right?
I love that song.
Yes, that is my husband. And so it's just like, he taught me at such a young age that it's okay to try new things. It's okay to come out of your comfort zone. It's okay to just live life. And I took that when he was alive. I would do things, you know, hesitantly because I did those things for him. But now it's like I carry so much of that with me because like you said, you never know what tomorrow will bring. And I want to show our kids, you know, what are the best parts of him. How can we bring them with us every day? Mm-hmm. And I want them to feel that love of life and that energy and that just like everything and every day is an adventure. And so definitely that was something that drew me to him quickly and that he was such a wild child and I see so much of him in both of our kids. And that's such a hard thing, but such a gift, such a gift.
Bittersweet.
Bittersweet.
It's very bittersweet.
And I remember like going to our pastor who was going to do Kyle's services. And he was just like, he was talking about the Enneagram 7 and the love for life. And he asked me, you know, do you have any guilt or any, you know, resentment or pain of how the accident happened? And you think about, could it have been prevented? Yes. But it's also, if I would have stopped Kyle from doing the things that he loved to do, we wouldn't have still been married.
Yeah.
Right. He loved me because I let him be himself.
Yeah. And there's no way, like, okay, go back to that day. You know, he's going up the cliff.
Right.
If you told him, don't do it.
Oh, and I probably did. Right. I probably.
It's not like he would have listened.
No. And so it's just, I have to have peace with that because like I said, if you were his best friend, if you were his family, if you were my family, everyone had seen him jump off something, if not even higher.
Yeah.
And so I know, like, as I live my life, as I pour into our kids, I don't want that to go away. And as much as that scares me, and Bennett, well, he was zip lining with friends at a field trip and he's like, hands are out. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Right? Like, that's terrifying.
So scary.
That's terrifying. But it's like, if Kyle were here, how would life feel?
Yeah.
Right? We can't walk on eggshells. We can't put them in a bubble. And I want him to be proud. And I think he is.
Oh yeah.
Right.
And I think he is.
We have to bring out and remember those things about the people that we love. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the best way to honor them.
Yeah,
for sure.
I absolutely agree. Yeah. Just live life to the fullest how they would.
Yeah.
I feel like Kyle, just talking about him, reminds me a lot about Eric too, because mm-hmm. that's how he was. I mean, we'd go to the lake, he'd jump off the cliffs and do all the things
right.
No fear. And here we are like, oh my gosh, like so afraid of everything.
Right.
So yeah, another thing too that someone told me right after Eric died is, you know, you marry someone and you plan to spend the rest of your life with them. Mm-hmm. And maybe we didn't get that, mm-hmm. but they did get to spend the rest of their lives with us. And I feel like that really helped me too. Cause I'm like, yeah, he did. We were there forever, you know?
Right.
And now the best way to honor them is to live like they would.
Right. And I think you'll find, you know, when you and Kevin get married, I have a whole different appreciation for marriage, for Luke, like the little things. Kyle was the messiest human being. And like, I told somebody like what I would give to step over his dirty underwear or like see his beard shavings mm-hmm. in the sink or the toothpaste cap off or like the little things are so minute. And I have so much more grace. And I tell Luke, thank you, or I appreciate you constantly because I had it. And then when you don't have it and you have it again, like you're given that gift again, it's such a bittersweet, like, oh my gosh, I'm so grateful. And none of that stuff matters.
Yeah.
And that's the secret, where it's like, you want people to feel what we feel in that gift, but you don't want anyone
to go through it because you do appreciate the little things so much more.
And your marriage now is, I often think Luke sometimes, right, it's weird to say, gets a better version of me than Kyle did in a weird way because it's like, I'm so much, okay, I'm going to live my life and I'm going to have grace and have compassion and be appreciative and not stress the little things. And, you know, I was 19 and we were broke and life was hard. And then this happened. And it's just like,
I think that's just a hard truth.
Yeah.
Because it is true. Like, we did grow. And like you said, we appreciate things like more, and we see, you know, we don't care about the little things. We don't do the little arguments. We don't do those little things.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's hard to say, but I do think it's true, because that's something Kevin and I have talked about too, is we feel like we get the better version of each other.
Of each other.
Because we know what it's like to love and lose.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be a or, but an and.
Yes.
Right. We bring everybody into the conversation and you communicate. Like, I can't stress enough how poor Kyle and I's communication was. And now it's just, it's everything, especially when we can't assume people know what kind of day we're having. Mm-hmm. I've made Luke even like a list on my notepad of like, if I'm having this kind of day, or in that question, how can I help? Mm-hmm. He has it on his phone.
Yeah.
So I don't even have to say the words or do the thing. Like, he just knows.
Yeah. And that's great.
Yeah.
That's...
I think it's super helpful. Like that time I was saying in New York where I totally melted down, I was like, we just need like a word. Like, if I say popcorn, I need to get out of this restaurant. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at those bachelorettes who are living the time of their life and they're completely naive and I'm eating ravioli. And then there's a song on that reminds me of Kyle. And I black out.
Yeah.
Right. Like, it's just, you learn as you go. You don't know what's going to trigger you, but there's so much grace in having someone who gets it and who loves you no matter what, if your day is full of joy or if you can't get out of bed.
Yeah.
It's such a gift. And getting remarried isn't the answer, right? It's not the solution to losing your husband. It's not a redo. It's not a fix, but it is a gift. And we say Luke is a bonus to our life. He will never be a replacement. He is just the best bonus. And he entered an impossible situation, and I will never, ever stop thanking him for everything he does.
Yeah. It's just, it's a blessing, not only for you, but also like a big blessing for your kids.
Yeah.
And they get to see you happy and living and loving.
And you're a teen again. You don't have to jump from one bedroom to another during nighttime and do this book and then this book and then that bath. And then now I'm cleaning up the mac and cheese in the sink. And then it's just, when you don't have it and then to have it again, you're like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, there's no word.
You don't. And that's what I often say to people who like to, you know, the internet trolls. I'm like, how lucky are you to not know?
Yeah.
So Good for you.
Good for you. Good for
I hope you never find out, even though you're mean. And I really just hope you never find out.
I know. And I thank you for, I find so much, I admire you and so many people who do the podcast, because I feel like it's, you're putting awareness and it's bringing, you know, the conversations that are hard to the table, and it's giving people, you know, a better insight to what it's like, because if they don't know, hopefully it'll give them more grace and more compassion towards others. And we walk so closely with people who have lost, but there's so many people who are friends to those people who want to help them. Yeah. And I think these sort of things, you know, help give resources or spread awareness or give light to everyone is going through something.
Yes, absolutely.
Everyone. And if it's not now, right, it's it's going to be later. We're not exempt from loss or illness or pain or all of that. And I went to a Bible study and I loved it. It was like they were talking about seasons and how, you know, we have our hard winters and then fall, you know, we're shedding our old skin and spring is new and summer we're happy and full of joy and all these things. And it's like, you will never stay in a season.
Yep.
And you cannot build a house in your winter, no matter how much you want to just stay in winter and live there for the rest of your life. You will not be in that season forever. And when you are in summer and it is joy and all those things, be sure to help those or look for those who are in winter, because it's going to come back around and being there for others, or having at least an idea of what they need or how to be there for them, I think is invaluable.
Yeah. And I think it's a good quality to have. Everyone needs it, because I mean, if we all have one thing in common at one point, maybe now or later, it will be lost because we all lose someone. So I think just having more empathy, awareness, love and light is what the world really needs.
Really needs. Really needs. Yes. If we could just, you know, sprinkle it without all the other stuff, wouldn't that be?
That would be amazing. Yes. What a world we would live in.
Right. Right. But what a gift it is that our kids are growing up with two women who are pouring all the goodness into them. Right.
Absolutely.
Like that's, I look at all of my widow friends and all of their kids, and it's just like, we could choose such a different path, but we're here and we are at the soccer game and we're, you know, at the camp and doing everything that we possibly can to make the best of the situation, whatever that means.
Yeah.
But we're showing up.
Yeah. We're doing it. We're doing hard things and we're teaching our kids we can do hard things.
That's right.
And you know, it feels, even when it feels like your world has stopped, you keep going.
Yeah. Because everyone else's gets to.
Yeah.
Right. And there, you can't stop them from the testimony that is their life.
Yeah.
Right. We can only equip them to be good humans and to love others. And I often will lay and look at Sawyer and I'm like, what would her world look like if this happens to her? Right. Do you have that? Like,
I do.
I can't predict the future. But it's just, we can only live in the now, and we can only, I don't care if they are the president or I just want them to be good humans.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. And that's what I constantly tell my kids.
Yeah.
Like my number one priority is to raise you guys to be kind above all anything else, you know, like just be kind, because we don't know.
We don't know. And one day they're going to be 30 and look back and be like, look what my mom did.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Look what my mom did.
Yeah.
I think that's, that fills me with so much pride and
me
so
too.
Much joy.
I think we're doing a good job. I think you are all doing a great job too. All the widows,
all the
moms,
things.
Dads, all of you, we can do hard things.
Yeah.
Well, thank you again.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Yay. I'm so happy we finally got to meet after all these years.
Yay. I know.
Well, thank you for telling your story, hanging out with us, and hopefully we can do this again sometime.
Yay. Thanks for having me.
Of course. And thank you guys for hanging out with us. If you want to continue to be a part of these conversations, don't forget to like, subscribe, follow, and do all the things. And don't forget, just for today, keep going.